1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No. 10.
Way.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
What a tackle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
Alrighty, alrighty, we're coming back in for another edition of the Skulgers podcast. Coming off of a very interesting loss there, Mikey, to the LA Rams in a game that I didn't think was going to score almost 70 points. So we talked about that last episode, but we're in about the same spot we were last year. Last year, this time, we were 2-2. This year, we are 1-2-1. Alright, now, the Philadelphia Eagles are also coming in a little bit less hot than they were last year. I believe they're also 2-2. So kind of, what are we making of this year? Is this just kind of a, you know, sometimes the first couple games break weird, or is this, you know, Super Bowl hangover for them? Kind of maybe NFC Championship hangover for us? What's your kind of thought on the state of the NFC and the NFL right now? Because it's all kinds of wonky.
Yeah, I think it's a combination, honestly, with both of these teams. I don't think the Eagles are playing at the level that they were last year. And, you know, it's a little bit of a different football team. If you want to call that a Super Bowl hangover, you definitely can. You know, they had Nick Foles week one. And, I mean, they end up actually beating a Falcons team in kind of a weird, you know, back and forth, like, not from an offensive standpoint, but just a weird game. Then they let, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick throw up 404 and get beat by the Bucks the following week, lose to the Colts. They barely, you know, edge out the Colts, a team that a lot of people think is, you know, playing like one of the worst teams in the league. Obviously, as Vikings fans, you know, that doesn't really mean anything, you know, with the Bills coming in and rolling over us. But and then last week, they blow a double-digit lead on the road to a Titans team that, while you and I kind of believe in and think they could, you know, show a little bit of life this year, it's still, if you're a Super Bowl caliber team like Eagles think they are, definitely not typical for them to go and blow a double-digit lead in the second half. So I think the Eagles are, you know, Wentz is back now. Alshon is now back. They're kind of, you know, finding their way a little bit, and then obviously the Vikings, as we've talked about, you know, I think they're just trying to put everything together for a single football game. We've seen flashes of what the offense can do. You know, certainly Cousins has not disappointed. I think he's looked great, and basically, you know, all games
we've put up, what, 23, 29, 6, and then
31. Yeah, you know, he's looked good. Obviously, the rushing game has been absent. I think we have the least amount of rushes in the NFL, you know, through four games. So that is concerning. And then obviously the defense has given up a lot of big plays. I think they've given up the most big plays in the NFL.
Which is not something we're used to as Vikings fans. Last year, I think we gave up, if not the lowest, within the top or the bottom four lowest big plays in the entirety of last season.
And it's something that kind of reared its head a little bit, obviously, in the Eagles game, and it's just continued into this year. And we've played some good quarterbacks. You know, obviously, Rodgers and Goff made some nice plays. You know, we've seen some guys make some throws, but you've also had big plays on screen passes to Chris Ivory and things along those lines that really aren't that typical for us to give up. So, I think these two teams are at different places than we thought they would be at going into this game, looking at it ahead of time. Obviously, this is a game that I think both fan bases probably circled. Certainly Vikings fan bases did based on the NFC Championship game last year, but it's still a very important game. It's just not for the reasons that I think we all would have thought. I think a lot of people might have assumed there was maybe a loss or two between these teams, and, you know, right now, I think, what, there's four losses and a tie between them, you know. So, it's a big football game, and it's just not exactly the path that I think many people thought they would have taken to get here.
Right, and I think you kind of hit it there. It's kind of where both fan bases thought they were coming into this game and this would be, you know, this would kind of decide positioning in the NFC, not necessarily kind of start to define your season, because either one of these teams lose this, you go into a hole that's kind of difficult to come back from. Vikings lose this, they go 1-3-1. That is not looking too great coming into the final stretch of the season, where you got Chicago nipping on your heels. You got Green Bay, who's got Rodgers back, although hobbled, but he can still put together some nice wins. And then you got the Eagles, they come in and they go 2-3 if they lose this game. All of a sudden, they're looking at Washington, who's biting at their heels, who's looking fairly decent. You got Dallas, who's starting to put some stuff together. So these teams, both teams in this matchup, have people nipping at their heels for the division, let alone the NFC. Like, at this point, it runs through the Rams, so we'll see kind of how that ends up panning out through the rest of the season. But I think you're right there on it. This is a turning point for both these teams, and I couldn't have guessed this coming into this game that this would be this important for both teams going forward to kind of write their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge game. Obviously, we're not going to write off the Vikings if you go to 1-3-1, but all of a sudden you're starting to rack up losses to some of the, I guess what I would call favorites in the NFC, and that's always a problem when you get to tiebreakers at the end of the year. You know, the Rams are off to a fantastic start at 4-0, and losing to them on the road in a hard-fought game, that's one thing. You know, we do have the tie against Green Bay, so having control of that tiebreaker in your own building later in the year, I think that's a great, you know, situation. And now if you can capitalize and get this win against Philadelphia, you know, I look at that as a rebound. All of a sudden, then you've got three wins in the NFC. You've got two wins in the NFC, and you really, I don't think, have set yourself too far back. But if you lose this game, I think that's when a lot of people, the fan base, is really going to start to panic. You're going to see a lot of people that are going to jump off the wagon, and it could get a little ugly if this game doesn't go our way.
Absolutely. But let's start breaking down this game, because this is going to be an interesting one. So let's get into some keys here, Mike. Key number one, don't lose.
Right. And obviously it's a bit of a joking key, but this is a big football game, and I think there's frustration from the team, there's frustration from the coaching staff, there's frustration from the fan base, and I think all three of those previously mentioned groups have seen things put together. They've seen the offense look good, they've seen glimpses of the defense at times, and I just think that this is a game where you have to come together as a team. Coming off 38-7, they've got to be frustrated. They've got to want this game. You've got DeFilippo going back to Philadelphia, which I think is huge. It's a huge advantage for us going into that. And I think that the Eagles are not in a great spot. I mean, they're kind of just sifting through their early season right now. And I just think that this is a game, this is a must win, capitalize, let's make a statement, let's come out and get a big win, and hey, this is a championship caliber team. I think we showed a glimpse of that last week, again, on the road, a hard-fought 38-31 loss, but I want to see the defense show up, and you do have to go out, and you can't lose this football game, I don't think.
I think I'd agree. One thing that we look at, that 38-31 game last week, just ineffective rushing. I think Kirk Cousins had the longest rushing and led the team in rushing yards. So key number two, you got to try to get the run game going. Come hell or high water, you have to just try to shovel that down and just force it in there and get some yards on the ground. Eat up some clock so the defense actually has some time to rest, right?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, last week, you know, Titans did most of their damage through the air. So certainly the Eagles, you know, can prevent the run if they want. Mariota ran for 46 yards last week, but the two running backs had a combined 12 carries for 24 yards. So very similar to what we've seen so far, where that running game just doesn't get going, and then it's all of a sudden an afterthought. And the Titans were behind in that game, which the Vikings have also done. You know, and it just seems like we abandoned the run at that point. And I think that obviously Dalvin is a question mark. We don't know if Dalvin Cook's going to be there. That's going to change things a little bit. But I think if Dalvin's there, if Latavius is there, the Vikings got to try to get a little bit going on the ground. We know the passing threat is there. We're going to get to that next. But I just these games where we have four rushes between our running backs and things like that. And I know Dalvin's been banged up a little bit, but whether it be Mike Boone or Rock Thomas, we have to get the run game going a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if Dalvin is indeed out, I mean, we have those backs that can get we have a couple backs that can be a couple-headed monster with this. We have the Mike Boone who can get out in space and be shifty and kind of take on that role. And you still got Latavius Murray, who's just a power back. You put him between the tackles, he should be able to get a few yards as long as you're not completely failing on your blocks. So
right.
The pieces are there. We just haven't been able yet to either put it all together or haven't been able to, game script-wise, able to be consistent with it and consistently push the run. Because you look at Green Bay, we're down late and we're playing catch up. You look at the Rams game where it was just a foot on the gas the entire time. So some of it is just game script. You just kind of scripting yourself out of it by the time the defense gives up these points.
Yeah, and I mean this. It's not like I'm saying, hey, we got to go out and we're just going to force run this, because this is a very good run defense. I believe number one overall last year, and I think they're number one overall right now this year. So to go out and just say, hey, here's 30 carries, we're going to try to run it.
Right.
That's not necessarily what I'm asking to do. But four rushes for running backs, I don't think that – yeah. I mean, so I want to see a little bit, see if you can get, you know, four or five here and there and just try to get – a little bit going on the ground, because I think it's really going to help open up kind of that midfield, and it's really going to hopefully allow that passing game, which we've already seen has been deadly at times. It's going to allow them to continue to blossom and continue to put up yards and points.
Sure, absolutely. So we mentioned it just a little bit there. The Eagles pass defense is not really looking like they were last year. So one, I mean, how do we take advantage of that? And two, what do you think is responsible for that?
Yeah, I mean, so they're kind of, you know, they're middle of the road. They've had two games where they've gotten absolutely torched, and two games where, you know, they haven't necessarily. But yet again, it was Nick Foles week one. You know, kind of a tough environment. If I remember, I think it was maybe raining that game. You know, it wasn't a great situation, but they have given up, I mean, 404 to Ryan Fitzpatrick, 344 and 2 to Marcus Mariota, someone that statistically hasn't thrown for a lot of yards over his first couple of years in the league. What that tells me is that a passing game, an actual passing game, whether it be Breeze and the Saints or this current Vikings attack, from what we've seen through, you know, three of the first 4 weeks, I think there's going to be some yards and points to be taken. Jalen Mills has struggled in their secondary, and I think that, you know, when you start to look at some of these matchups, that's got to be something that, whether it be Diggs, Thielen, I mean, even Treadwell, who we've seen the last two games, two of his best games as a Viking, you know, I think that there's going to be yards to be gained there. And I got to imagine that those guys are, you know, drooling a little bit staring at this matchup with, which, as you mentioned, has not been a very good pass defense. I think they're right now sitting, you know, maybe right around 19th, 20th. And that's even with Matty Ryan only throwing, or, you know, I think he only threw for 100 some yards the first game. So it's kind of, I think it's a place that we can take advantage of.
Okay, conversely, how do the Vikings get better against the pass? Because we've given up some nice games as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? I think the pass defense in this game is huge. What pass defense can come to play a little bit better, and I think that ultimately whoever does is going to end up winning this football game. Like I've said, the roads have even been opened a little bit. So it sounds like Trey Waynes, he's not through concussion protocol, I don't believe, yet. That's not a good sign with it being Thursday. I mean, at this point, I don't know how you feel, but I almost got to assume he's not playing Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult if he's not practicing Thursday. and I don't know where he's at in the concussion protocol. I don't think we've actually heard anything. I haven't listened to the pressers or anything, but if he's not practicing today, that means he's not even through the first couple steps of the concussion protocol. So it'd be probably unlikely, especially if he doesn't practice tomorrow, that he's going to play Sunday at all.
Right. So, I mean, that means you're going to see more of Mackenzie Alexander. You're going to see more of Mike Hughes. You're going to, you know, these guys that so far have given up, you know, some yardage and plays need to step up. And Alshon Jeffrey's back. I mean, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate before he went down last year. This is a good offensive team. They have Zach Ertz. They've got two tight ends that can catch the football very well. This is not a bad passing offense. So, in terms of how to improve that, I don't know that it's a schematic thing. I think guys just have to make plays. We touched on it last week where Goff made some dime throws. Guys were really close to right place, you know, bat that ball, bat that arm, a little bit of ball luck, but they're going to have to be on their A game again.
Right. Yeah, and it's, I think your next point here kind of leads right into that, is finish the sack. Actually get to the quarterback, finish the hit, take him off his spot, get him thinking about what's going on quicker in his head. So yeah, these guys don't have to hold coverage for as long as they do. Because obviously, if Waynes is out, that's a detriment to our secondary. Harrison Smith hasn't looked like himself since week one. Like you said, some roads have been opened. Xavier Rhodes lost his composure, which ended up giving up a touchdown in the Rams game, kicking that flag. So there's some problems there. So the more help you can give them on this dominant D-line, which should be one of the most dominant D-lines in the league right now, the better. So get home, finish those sacks. That's 100% key. And I don't know how you do that. Do you start blitzing more? You know, kind of what do? You just dial it up and bring the house a couple times and make them really think about protections more? I don't know. What are you feeling on that? Or you just stay basic?
Well, and I mean, additionally to that, Barr and Kendricks, they have two very athletic big tight ends, big body guys that can go up and get the ball. So, and Carson Wentz is a very accurate, you know, he can put it where those guys can go up and catch it. So I think that if you look back at 38-7, and I know that was Foles and not Wentz, but we had multiple times on those big plays where they got and they'd get an arm on the shoulder and he'd shake it off, step up, make a throw, and you know, all of a sudden 38-7 happens. So I don't know if they drop a few different blitzes or things like that, but when they get a chance to get Wentz, you got to get him down. We've done okay at times getting pressure this year, but it seems like, you know, Goff just sat back, threw into some decent coverage at time, but he made just perfect throws, and perfect throws can beat good coverage. So I think just maybe you do a few exotic things. You know, you give him some new looks. Obviously, I think DeFilippo comes in will be advantageous for things like that. You know, hey, here's what we can do here. You know, he's going to know Wentz as good as anyone can. So I think he's probably going to have a few things that he's going to have helped Zimmer out. And I think this game, more than any of the previous four, we might see some things that we thought we were going to see through the first four games, but haven't. And then I want to see this defensive front four look like they did week one. I want to see some dominance, and I know it's a really good offensive line there. But I want to see them, you know, get some pressure, and then let's get a couple sacks. And you know, the rest of the defense feeds off that. That's one thing that we haven't seen. This defense, when they get going, it's like, you know, you can't stop them. It's just, they continue to build and build and build. And then all of a sudden it's big play, big play. So I think if they can get sacks and they can start to get the secondary to go, maybe you see an interception, maybe you see a forced fumble. I'd like to see this defense really get going this game. And that's going to be one thing I'm going to be watching. I'm not that worried about the offense, but I want to see this defense get going.
Right. I want to see a plus in the turnover column for once. I don't think we've seen that since week one. And that's kind of been the difference in these games, right? You're giving away the ball when you shouldn't, and when you absolutely need to have a takeaway, you're not getting it.
Right.
So let's get positive in the turnover column and actually make something happen, like you said there. All right.
Yep.
Conversely, the other side of the ball. How are we going to protect against Philly's defensive front? Because they are not low ranking.
No, yeah, I mean, I think you build off last game, which was exponentially better than the Buffalo game, I thought. So I think you build off that. You know, you continue to mix in a variety of things, whether it be shotgun, you know, quick passes, try to get the running game going. I think you really just try to keep the defense off pace, I guess. You know, you don't just consistently do the same thing.
Sure.
And I think just try to build off last week. I don't know that the offensive line necessarily came away from last week feeling that they had a horrendous game. I think they might have came away from that trying to build off it.
A little bit of a bounce back. Yep.
I think they could look at some stuff on the tape, continue to build on those things, and just, you know, you go from there.
Hopefully you get that second full game from Elfline, and he's feeling better about it, feeling more confident, and they call some more of those pulling plays where they're running off tackle, kind of like the Dalvin special last year was before he went down. It's all there in front of us. You just got to get the right play calls to utilize our offensive line. If it's not working between the tackles, let's not press it between the tackles, you know?
Right.
Why are we forcing what's not working? Let's find something, find a groove that's working, and then you can get these guys tired out, and then you can start pressing the stuff that you actually want to do. Impose your will that way.
Yep.
All right. So, you mentioned DeFilippo. How much does that extend to just beyond Carson Wentz? I mean, how much could Doug Peterson actually change what he's doing to kind of throw DeFilippo's knowledge out the window?
Well, I think obviously they probably changed quite a bit. You know, it's a new coordinator. You know, they're not going to come in with the same exact plays, the same exact calls, etc. But I think knowing some of the tendencies and just you know, having the experience with Wentz day in and day out, I think that's such an advantageous thing for Zimmer to try to scheme around, try to get him uncomfortable, right? That's really what Zimmer is going to try to do. He's just going to try to get Wentz uncomfortable, put him into situations where he's not comfortable. And so I think that would be a huge, huge deal from that standpoint.
Sure. So I think we're kind of wrapping up here on what we got. You got any more keys to the game on this or anything else you're thinking that's really going to affect the outcome of this game that we haven't talked about yet?
No, I mean, I think that obviously the 38-7, that's still sitting, I think, sour with a lot of the players and coaches.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a motivation in its own. So, you know, whether there might be fans that were like, oh, they couldn't get up for the Buffalo game. Obviously, they were able to get up for the Rams game prime time on the road. This is a game that the Vikings should be ready to play. It's a little later in the afternoon. I think the focus should be there. And I really think you're going to see all the players come to play. This should be a very complete, hard-fought football game. And I'm really excited to watch this game Sunday.
And just a comparison that's on Twitter before we go to our prediction section here. The three quarterbacks the Vikings had a choice on, Sam Bradford has been benched.
Yep.
Case Keenum is 3 touchdowns for 10 interceptions. And I think they're 2-2, Denver is. And you got Kirk Cousins, who is, I think, 10 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. And like third in the league in passing yards. I think we made the right call on that one.
Right.
I don't know what your thoughts are there. Like, if you were ever swinging a different way than Kirk Cousins, but I've seen it like before the season started. Oh, we made the wrong decision, but.
No, I think that, I mean, from that standpoint, right, I was Team Teddy or Cousins, and I was going to be happy with either decision. This is playing out what I thought Cousins would be. Cousins has been fantastic from a passing standpoint. And I think that's going to continue. He makes throws that we did not see last year with Keenum. I think if you would have went the Bridgewater route, I would still have loved to seen that. I think that the team, it's a different team at that point, right? It's
sure.
You're more of a grind it out. You're going to try to run more in efficient passes, and it's not going to be so much of a vertical game.
Right. You're topping on the offense is significantly less with that.
Yep, and maybe you evolve it a little bit. I think they would have had to, right? Because you don't want to waste Diggs. You don't want to waste. I mean, Thielen's a little bit more of kind of over the middle and whatnot pockets, but you don't want to waste the vertical threat of Diggs. But yeah, it would have been different. I think this was the right decision. We just need to get this defense back on track, and I really look for them to do that Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. So let's get into our predictions. Starting off with Minnesota at Philadelphia, who do you got? What's the points? What do you got, Mike?
Did you say Philly, Minnesota, first one we're predicting?
Yep, first one.
You know, I'm going to go with – I'm still on the wagon. I still believe. I have this team hopefully coming out at best 3-2 through the five games. I know that's not achievable, but I will take 2-2-1, all things considered. Everson, new offense, or new quarterback, you know. I think that they bounce back. They build on some positives from last week. They come out. They've got the NFC Championship on their mind. I think we see enough out of the rush game. We see our defense actually come to life. They build on it. We see the offense explode. I'm going statement game. I'll take the Vikes 38, the Eagles 7.
Oh, God. How the hell is going to happen? I'm not quite as high as on that prediction as I am, but I definitely agree that this is a statement game. This is kind of the turning point of the season. If we don't hit this game, fan base is going to riot. You and I were on the same page of this is nowhere near – Mike Zimmer is nowhere near a hot seat right now. It's still frozen. He's solid in the coaching chair for quite a while. But I think, like you said, this is a statement game. 38-7 is still fresh on our minds. We want revenge. I think we're going to get it. I'm not quite thinking it's going to be 38-7. I think it's going to be 27-13, right, with the garbage time touchdown late.
Yep. All right.
All right, next one, Mike. Green Bay at Detroit.
Yeah, divisional game. Detroit obviously showing signs of life last week. Green Bay as well, shutting out Buffalo at home. Green Bay, a little bit banged up. The receivers are a little hurt. I think I saw there was a tweet today that the top three receivers practicing, I don't know that I had heard of any of the three. So I'm actually going to take Detroit. I think that Patricia and them had a bounce back game, beat the Patriots. And I don't know. I think Detroit gets it done. I'm still jury out on Green Bay right now. I think they're very much like the Vikings in that they're not entirely sure what they're doing.
Kind of up and down, kind of not putting together a complete game quite yet.
Yep. So I'm going to take Detroit in a close one.
Okay. I'm right there with you on that too, especially because Detroit's at home. Typically, Detroit hasn't been one to really show their affinity for winning in the past couple seasons, but I think with a hobbled Aaron Rodgers, even with his ability to just make any wide receiver shine, not having his top three guys, or maybe not having one or two of them, is going to be too much to handle. And I think Detroit's starting to get hot. They're starting to starting to believe in themselves again, which, you know what? Go Detroit, man. Let's take out the Packers. Let's kind of even up this division a little bit and see where we go from there, you know? So I'm also taking Detroit on that one.
All right.
Next one we got, Mike. Jacksonville versus Kansas City.
Yeah.
This will be a good one, man.
Showtime Mahomes. I'm going to stick with the hot hand, and I'm going Kansas City. I can't pick against him right now. I think the Tyreek, Jalen Ramsey is going to be fun to watch. Jalen was giving him disrespect today. Would not call him a receiver, only call him a return specialist.
That's such a Jalen thing.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be fun. Won't be shocked on either one, but I'll go with the home team. I'll go with Mahomes staying hot, and I'll take Kansas City.
You know what? I'm going to go Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville humbles these guys right out the door and shows Mahomes that he is mortal. So kind of takes them off their high horse a little bit. They're still going to drop to 4-1. They're still going to be touted as probably one of the best teams in the AFC. But I think that defense is just going to be a little bit too much for them to handle. And Kansas City's defense did not look good in that game. So, Blake Bortles could have a nice little day there. passing against those guys. They did not look good in pass coverage. So I think Jacksonville's going to take that one.
All right.
We'll see what happens, though. That one's, I can't wait for that game. That one's going to be a fun one to watch. Then we got Dallas at Houston.
Yep.
This is going to be a fun little game here.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You know, battle in the
battle for Texas.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still in with Houston. I picked them to be a, you know, improved team this year, to stay healthy. And I'm going with them. I'm going to say Deshaun Watson, Hopkins, they're too much. I think they win what should be, yeah, like you said, I think it's going to be a good football game, back and forth. I think, you know, you've got some big stars in that game, and Zeke and Deshaun and J.J. Watt. It's going to be fun. I think I'm going to have to watch, you know, that one a little bit, but I'm going with Houston.
Going with Houston, huh? You know, I was going to go with Houston, but I think just to be different, I'm going to go with Dallas in this one. I'm going to say Zeke kind of exposed for some nice yardage over Houston, and Deshaun Watson gets a couple late picks, one or two late picks that kind of decide the game and ice it for Dallas's sake. So, going to pick Dallas, even though you know how Minnesota fans typically feel about Dallas.
Right.
You know, Cowboys over Texans, Cowboys probably win the battle for the state.
There you go.
All right, one last prediction I'm going to throw your way. See what you think of this. All right, who's going to have more yards? Murray plus Treadwell or Diggs?
I will go Diggs in that one.
Okay, who's going to have more yards, Treadwell or Cousins?
What, rushing?
No, like Treadwell's receiving yards versus Cousins' rushing yards.
Oh, I'll take Treadwell receiving over Cousins' rushing.
Okay. We'll see how that one pans out. I think that's going to be reversed there.
Well, I guess you got Cousins getting loose a couple times, huh?
I think he'll get loose a couple times. He'll have to, you know.
All right.
Anyway, anything else looking at this this matchup coming up here? The battle for the NFC.
No, I think it's just you know, continue to improve and try to put all facets of the game together. Try to play a complete game, and I think if you do that, I think this team will come out on top.
I completely agree. It's time to show the world what this defense can do again, and hopefully we can get it done on Sunday.
Well, let's just keep them to like 17-20. I mean, you know, we don't need to go in and shut out and show the world and come back with a vengeance. But come on, let's not give up 38. Basically, let's
keep it reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's gonna do it for the Scolders podcast here tonight. I'm at Namok7 on the Twitter. Mike?
Muskie_Mike.
ScolgersMN on the Twitter. Scolgers.com, also on the Climbing the Pocket Network. Go over there, take a listen. They got a lot of good stuff over there, including us. That'll wrap it up for tonight. Skol Vikes. Let's go get that win on Sunday.
Skol, baby.